And we take our text from Romans chapter 2 and verse 16. The day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. The day when God shall judge the secrets of men. It is easy to think of other people rather than ourselves. You look at pompous people, you look at rich business magnates, you look at politicians, and they're full of how good they are, how much they have, and many other things outwardly they show. And many people who look at us with disdain when we deliver letters and don't want them. But there are secrets. Every heart has secrets. And there are secrets which those on public display have that they wouldn't want the world to see. And if you wouldn't want the world to see, and if they wouldn't want the world to see, how much worse will it be to know not only that God sees, but that God judges? Death is followed by judgment. The sting of death is sin. But it is the judgment of God which follows that is greatly to be feared. Fear not them, said the Lord Jesus, which kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Fear him who, after he hath killed the body, may kill the soul also. That's God the Father. Fear him. The longest list of sins in the Bible is that which is in Romans 1. And it's preceded by three places in which God is said to give people over to sin. It's as if he was saying to us, if that's what you want to be like it. When he said to the people in the wilderness, if it's meat you want, I'll give you quails till you loathe it. We were reading the story today. And for a day's march either side of the camp, to a height of 2 meters or so, the land was filled with quails. Not one day, not 2 days, not 3 days, but for a month. And it's what they wanted. They longed for meat, so God gave them plenty of meat. And they felt ill when God visited them, while they were even devouring it. So if you want a particular sin, and you want it so badly, have it, says God. But you'll have my wrath and my anger with it. And it is a terrible thing should God deliver someone over to their sin. In Romans 1:24, God gave them up to uncleanness. Verse 26, God gave them up unto vile affections. Verse 28, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Three particular ways in which God says, if that's what you want, you may have it to abundance, but you will pay the price in the day of judgment. If you worship idols, worship them to your heart's content. Forget about the Lord Jesus Christ. But you'll face my wrath, the living God, on the day of judgment. And for those who desire to change the truth of God into a lie, God gave them up to vile affections, saying, if that's what you really want, if that's what you're after, then have it to your heart's content. You'll pay the price You'll receive in your own bodies the recompense for what you have done. But afterwards, the judgment. And as they did not like to think about God, to retain God in their mind, he gave them over to a reprobate mind. And a reprobate mind is described as one who is filled with all unrighteousness. If that's what you want, do it. But you'll pay the price in the judgment. A reprobate mind is fornication. Do it to your heart's content. But you'll pay the price. The reprobate mind is wickedness. The reprobate mind is covetousness. The reprobate mind is maliciousness. The reprobate mind is full of envy. Envy to your heart's content. But afterwards the judgment. The reprobate mind murders, debates. That's debates in the sense of calls everything into question that is true. The reprobate mind deceives, is evil, malignity, whispers behind people's backs, backbiters, says things behind people's backs. The reprobate mind hates God, is full of spite, is proud, boasts, invents evil things, disobedient to parents, the evil mind, without any understanding, breaking covenants of all sorts. The evil mind is without natural affection, implacable, cannot do anything about them, unmerciful. And God gives men who will not consider him, will not look at him, will not evaluate the things that are visible like the creation. He gives them over to a reprobate mind. They know the judgment of God. They can't escape the judgment of God. But they don't want to hear about it. They don't want to learn about it. So they are allowed to go on sinning. God gives them over to their sinning. That is to say, not only are they allowed to go on sinning, but he pushes them in that direction. It's what they want. One day they may deny it's what they wanted, but it is what they wanted. And God gives them over. And there is a day coming when God shall judge the secrets of men. Now it is a day to be feared. It is a day that people don't want to know about. When the scriptures say that when the Lord Jesus returns, they shall call out to the mountains to cover them. Well, do you like being stuck on an underground train? Do you like going through a tunnel and suddenly think in the middle of it that it might collapse on you? And yet so great is the anger that they perceive of God that when the Lord Jesus returns, they say, fall on us, cover us to hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. Of course it won't do it. But you can't deny that they know that anger is coming. All the days of their life they might deny that they knew, or that they thought, or that they didn't know what the true things were, or the right things were to do, or the right things were to believe. But deep in their heart they do know. When the Lord Jesus returns in his wrath, they won't admire his coming. They won't look up for their redemption draw at night. They will instinctively know they are guilty. And they will instinctively know the extent of the anger, even to all eternity in hell. And they know it's coming. If it could escape, they could escape. They'd rather the mountains fell on them. So no man is unaware of the sinfulness of his own heart. But there's something in every person that keeps secret the things that they know are wrong. Perhaps they wonder what other people would think. Perhaps they try to persuade themselves that the thoughts aren't there. Whatever it is, men and women, boys and girls, keep secretly locked up in their hearts the things they know they've done that are wrong. They keep it from the world. They want the world to think how good they are. Now, I know this at first hand. Remember all those school years? They didn't have, in the days when I was at school, emails, or they didn't have communication by mobile phone, as they do today, so that teachers can allow the parents to know straight away that there's a parents' meeting. Comes up on their phone. But I strove with all my heart to make sure that my mum didn't know teachers' evenings, parents' evenings. I know the reason. I knew it then. I didn't want the teachers to know how bad I was at home, that mum would tell them. And I didn't want mum to know how bad I was at school when the teachers would tell them. And this is the principle that I'm describing. It is natural to the fallen person. We know the sins are there. Even not wanting people to know about them on the whole, some will know a little bit about them, no doubt. But even the fact that we know that people will find out and that God will judge them will not stop us doing them. And if God gives that an extra push, because we deserve it to, then what hope is there? There is a day of judgments. And in that day, God will judge things that nobody else knows about. Quite how he will reveal, for it shall be shouted from the housetops, you recall. Quite how he will reveal the things that have been withheld secretly, well, we have no means of telling. But the Lord who knows the heart, knows the motive, knows the deeds, the words, the actions, the thoughts, he will judge them. He will evaluate them. Again, thinking of school, I remember because we had lessons with their master in his study, when a boy had done something wrong and was sent into the study, it was, what did you think you were doing? Did you not think that that would result and this would be the case? That others would take harm? That you were disrupting the lesson? Did you not think of that? And a furious head against a fairly young child, 14, 13, was not one to be welcomed. Now, a furious God who on the day of judgment will reveal what we thought and then say, what did you think you were doing? Did you not think of the repercussions? Did you not think of how others would be embroiled in it and hurt by it? Did you not think what I would say about it? Did you not know my law? Why didn't you think? The judging of the secrets of men is tough. I used to think, when I first understood about the flood, that the water came up and up and up and receded as gradually down and down and down. But of course that didn't explain how boulders got smashed, how things got moved thousands of miles in the great torrent of water rushing away and moving down. Well, now transfer that to thinking about God's anger against sin. It's not only that the sins were multiplied, and the sins can be mentioned, and they can be dealt with one by one. It's that an angry God, a wrathful God, is seeking to judge the things that were in the heart. That day when God judges the secrets of men. God, of course, is a merciful God. And he judges men by Jesus Christ. I did not come to judge the world, but to save, said the Lord Jesus. But where the salvation is not taken up, of course, there is judgment. And the Lord Jesus is the judge, or rather men judge themselves by what they think of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by their commitment to him, and by their living by his standards. The secrets of men are judged by Jesus Christ. It might not have been too difficult a procedure, but that we left it too late to repent. By which I mean you think of the woman at the well. The Lord Jesus knew the secret of her heart. He knew that she had had five husbands. So we're told. But where did they all go? Why did they all leave her? How did they all get to join with her? These are things that only the Lord Jesus knew. And the one she was living with now was not her husband. She was living out of wedlock. Why would she do that? In a God-fearing land. Only the Lord Jesus knew. But what impressed the woman? Come tell me, come see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ, the Messiah? And she believed. And she repented. But the judgment day is about those who've left it too late. Those who had a lifetime when they could have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. When they could have seen that he knows all about their hearts and all about their ways. Who could have been appalled, not only by the fact that the Saviour knew all about them, but that they knew all about these wicked things too. But they've left it too late. Once we die, there is no further opportunity for sins to be forgiven, for us to be saved. Till then there is. But it's a very risky business to leave it as late as you can, like children playing chicken across the railway line on the road. There's a real risk of disaster. So the judging of our secrets of our hearts by the Lord Jesus Christ is a terrible thing at the day of judgment. But the gospel is good news, and it's vested in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if there are secrets of our own heart that we know of, one of the things I found when I was in the middle of being saved was the Lord brought back to me all the things I'd forgotten. But if the Lord deals with them here, if we turn to him here, the good news, the gospel of Jesus, is that despite all these things, despite the anger of God against them, the Lord is merciful. The Lord forgives sins. The Lord will, in the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself upon the cross to substitute for us, he will forgive all those dreadful things. But for those who are not forgiven, it is a terrible thing. We've been reading in 1 John that herein is God's love made perfect towards us, that we may have boldness, not insolence, boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. He is perfect. The believer in Christ is in him. God looks at the believer in Christ as being in Christ, and he counts to him even here and now in this world the perfections that are in his Saviour. They are identified with him. And so that whole judgment of wrath is averted. According to the gospel, there is in Jesus Christ forgiveness for every sin. But according to that same gospel, the Saviour who did not come to judge the world will judge the sins of those who did not turn to him. either because they did not believe in him, or else because the sins they had they desired to continue in, or because it was that these wicked things that they did, they didn't believe in the Saviour, and they didn't want to turn from them combined. So the gospel teaches that there is a day coming, when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. I guess, for those with consciences, that people who have to go for a court hearing and are likely to be found guilty and sentenced perhaps to imprisonment have some sort of fluttering, have some sort of nerves as they're waiting for that day, as they go up the steps to the court, as they go into the courtroom, as they see the judge dressed in all the traditional finery to stand for justice. I guess, unless one's conscience has been seared, that there is a little fluttering, there is a nervousness till that day comes. How much more then, the judgment of the Lord who knows our hearts, will that cause us to be nervous, to be concerned, to be worried? I simply plead with you, if that is there, acknowledge it for what it is and be saved. Come to the Lord Jesus. Confess to him your sin. Confess in repentance, desiring to turn away from it. For if God gives over the wicked to lust, he will certainly give over to those who desire to be turned from their sin the capacity to do so. Come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his gospel, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for the things that we have done in our bodies. May the Lord bless us on that day and before that day. Amen.